Amen. You may be seated. Are you ready for the Word of God here today? Amen. We know that the Bible says that God's Word is forever settled in heaven. You know, Jesus said that the heavens and the earth will pass away, but His Word will never pass away. The Bible says that His words are life to those that find them, health to all of our flesh. So as we hear God's word, it is life to us. We know that Jesus said over there in John 6, He said, "My words are spirit and life." And so we receive that here today. Are you ready for it? Amen. Turn with me in your Bibles. I'm going to give you two separate openings, and you can just hold a spot in both places. Go to Romans chapter 10, Romans chapter 10, and also 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And today I'm going to call this message, "The Spirit of Faith Fixes Everything." The Spirit of Faith fixes everything. Yes, you heard it correctly. I said it. The Spirit of Faith fixes everything. Folks, we know this, that faith is the most powerful force that is on this earth right now. Amen. We know that the Bible says that all of creation was framed by God's spoken words of faith. You know, do you know that the world, the earth, all that is in creation, all the stars, everything we see in space, it all came from the spoken word of God's faith. Amen. The spoken word of God's faith is how we get saved. It is what changes our lives. Amen. It is the most powerful force on this earth. And the good news is that faith is simple in its operation. It'll always produce results. It is so easy. A child can use faith. You know, even teenagers can use faith, adults can use faith every single day, regardless of our education level, regardless of our monetary status, whether faith will work for the poor, faith will work for the rich, faith will work for everybody in between, faith will work regardless of gender, regardless of ethnicity. Amen. Praise the Lord. Faith is what puts us all on the same playing field, an equal playing field with God. Amen. Praise the Lord. Faith is no respecter of persons. Faith will work if you and I decide to work it. Amen. Folks, we've got to get back to the most simple principles of faith. We got to go back to faith because it is the most simple and effective tool on our spiritual tool belt. It will work on anything and everything. The faith of God in the Bible is universal, meaning it will work on any circumstance, any place in the world, anytime, anywhere, for anybody who will decide to use it. But the question is, will you make a decision today to use faith on a daily basis? Amen. Go to Romans chapter 10. We're going to start there. Go to Romans chapter 10, and we're going to start with a familiar passage of scripture, and we're going to look at how faith operates. Folks, I'm going to just tell you right off the top, there's nothing clever about this message. You know, I'm not trying to produce clever messages. I'm not trying to, you know, just, you know, have something sensational. I want to tell you something that works. I want to tell you something that'll please your Heavenly Father. The Bible says in Hebrews 11:6, it says, "But without faith, it is impossible to please God." Right? Right? Amen. Because we must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those that diligently seek Him. If you want to please God, you want to operate in faith. Well, Romans 10, and starting in verse 8, it gives us a very clear and simple operation of how faith works. How faith works. This same chapter also tells us how to get faith. So, folks, I want to tell you here today, get faith, then use faith. It is that simple. Get faith, then use faith. Now, of course, Jesus, you know, He told His disciples, you know, they said, "Lord, you know, give us more faith." He said, "If you had faith the size of a grain of mustard seed, you'd be able to speak to a mountain or speak to a tree and to remove it." And so, of course, we're going to talk about that here, and we're going to talk about how you don't have to have all faith to use the faith that you do have. Amen. The Bible says that when you got born again, you've been given a measure of faith. Everyone has a measure of faith to start with. You can increase your faith by using it. Amen. And also we'll see how faith comes here. Now let's go to Romans 10. Let's look at verse 8. I'm going to read the passage and then go back to the beginning. Romans 10, 8. If you want to be a person of faith, this is how you operate. The Bible says that the just shall live by faith. Oh, let's try that again. The just shall live by faith. So we're supposed to live by faith. The Bible says we walk by faith, not by sight. And so here's what faith does. In verse 8, now, of course, in Romans chapter 10, when we pick it up in verse 8, he's talking about what the Bible says, you know, generally speaking. He's talking about the Word of God, you know, the Old Testament law versus the New Testament grace. And then he says this in verse 8. He says, now I'm reading out of the King James, so I might just clean up the English just a little bit. But verse 8 starts with this statement, what saith it, or literally speaking, what does the word say? That's the question mark. What does God's word have to say about this? And then he says, the word is near to you, even in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. All right, the word of faith which we preach. Now, we're going to continue on. Verse 9 is familiar to us. Here is the word of faith. That if you shall confess, that word confess simply means to speak or to profess something, all right? It means to declare or to command or to speak. That if you shall speak with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, and if you shall believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. Is there anybody here today that you've acted on Romans 10, 9 before and you're saved? What did you do? You believed in your heart that Jesus was Lord. You spoke that out of your mouth. And what happened? You got born again. You got saved. Let's never lose the joy of being saved. Amen. Praise the Lord. And then he says in verse 10, for with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession or speaking is made unto salvation. Everyone say salvation. That word salvation is really a deep word. We'll talk about it here in a moment. And now go down there to verse 17. And we got to look real quick at the verse that tells us how we get faith. How does faith come into our heart? The Bible says, so faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. And so that's exactly how you got saved, right? You heard that Jesus is Lord. You heard the scripture that tells you that your sins would be washed away if you would confess Christ as your Lord and Savior. That got into your heart, you spoke that with faith out of your mouth, and what happened? You got born again. Your entire destiny was changed and overturned in that one moment because you simply operated in this simple process of faith. Go back up to Romans chapter 8. If I could just have our ushers help there to go ahead and shut that middle door. You know, we have the reflection. Aren't you glad to see the sun shining? Yes, it's good to see the sun. Boy, can't you wait when it gets dark at 2:30 this afternoon? Praise the Lord. It's wonderful up here in Alaska. We love it. Right? Now go back up to verse 8. It says, but what does the word say? Now this is what God is saying to you and to me. He says, The word is near to you. The word is near to me. Don't ever think that God is far away. Don't ever think that your help is far away. It's not far away. The word is near you. Where is the word? It is where? In your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. Here's the good news. If you have a heart and if you have a mouth, you can operate faith. If you have a heart and you have a mouth to speak faith, you have an answer with you at any given time, no matter what you're facing. You are never without help. You are never without the ability to please God. You are never without the ability to release faith that will overturn circumstances, that will please God, that will change the world around you. All right? So God, you know, people always, they feel like God is so far away. No, he's not. His word is near you. It's in your heart and in your mouth. It is near to you. Stop thinking that God is so far away. He's not. Don't think that your answer is so far away. It's not. God is saying, you know, you're not waiting on God to do something. He's waiting on you to hook up your mouth with your heart and to start speaking words of faith. Amen. The word is near you, even in your mouth and in your heart. So if you have a heart and a mouth, you can operate in faith. Praise the Lord. But you know what? Notice this. Faith comes out of the heart and is spoken by the mouth. Notice the scripture says nothing about the mind. Faith does not come out of the mind, right? Faith gets into your heart through hearing the word of God, and then you speak it. Notice from your heart, or synonymous with your spirit, you know, from your spirit or from your heart, going up to your mouth, the brain is bypassed. You can say it this way, the pathway of faith does not run through your brain. It doesn't run through your mind. Folks, faith does not come out of your brain. You know, but I tell you what, fear does. Fear does. Criticism can come out of your brain and out of your mind, right? Anger can come out of your mind. Reminders of your past can come out of your mind. You know, past hurts, you know, hurt feelings, hurt emotions, criticisms of people, complaining comes out of your mind, bitterness comes out of your mind, right? Think of all the things that is stewing in your brain, but faith bypasses all of that, starts in your heart from the word of God and speaks out of your mouth. Faith does not need your mind's permission. Faith doesn't need your thoughts on the matter. Oh, come on. See, what the Bible's telling us is God wants us to live heart to mouth. Heart to mouth. But if we're not careful, we'll start living mind to mouth. All of a sudden, all those thoughts of criticism in your mind, all of a sudden you start giving those things words. All of a sudden it's going to bring destruction. You start letting all that bitterness in your mind, all of a sudden it goes down there and it creates words. Oh, now you're putting life to that bitterness. You know, jealousy comes out of that mind. You know, if you put words to jealousy, it'll destroy. If you put words to the anger in your mind, it'll destroy you. Right? Amen. Stop consulting with our feelings and our emotions. Don't consult with your past in order to release faith. Amen. Glory to God. We are to live with God's word coming in our ears, getting into our heart, and being spoken out of our mouth, and get this brain and carnal thinking out of the way. The brain will tell you every reason why faith won't work. You better bypass that brain. You better ignore that doubt. Why is it that we believe thoughts when we're supposed to be believing God's word? Doubt the doubt. Doubt your thoughts. Don't doubt God's word. Amen. Glory to God. And so the Bible's trying to teach us, if you've got a heart, if you've got a mouth, you've got help with you right now. God is not far away from you. But here's the thing. God is not going to do your speaking for you. God is not going to show up and force you to say the right things. He didn't force you to get saved. He didn't force you to confess Christ as your Lord and Savior. You did so because you heard God's word. It got into your heart and you spoke out of your mouth. Amen. Glory to God. All right. Now go down to verse 9. I want you to see again the simplicity of faith. It says that if you shall speak with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, and if you will believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. Notice how simple faith is. You didn't have to consult your past. You didn't have to remember every sin you committed. You didn't have to, you know, bring up a whole list of all your mistakes. You just simply confessed from your heart that Jesus was Lord, and faith worked for you. Amen. Faith is simple. Every child can do it. Every teenager can do it. Every adult can live daily on their faith, regardless of how educated they are or how much money you have or don't have. Stop consulting with your feelings. Stop consulting with your emotions. You know, how many of you know when you confess Jesus as Lord, you didn't have to feel a certain way for that faith to work? I've seen people come to Jesus in a time of sadness. I've seen people come to Jesus in a time of gladness. I've seen people come to Jesus when they're very young. I've seen people come to Christ in the last moments of their life. I've seen all of that. And guess what? You didn't need to feel a certain way. You didn't have to be a certain age. You didn't have to have a certain amount of money. Faith will work for anyone, everywhere. Amen. It is so simple if we will just use it. Simply put, faith doesn't need any permission from your mind, from your feelings, your past, in order to work. All right. Praise the Lord. Hold your place here in Romans chapter 10. I had you go over to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. I had you hold your place there. Flip over real quick. I know we could just bring this up on the screen, but I want you to see this again in the Bible. Glory to God. The spirit of faith fixes everything. Oh, Pastor, I don't believe that it fixes everything. No. I didn't say that the spirit of faith would prevent all trials. I didn't say that the spirit of faith would prevent all hardships. Folks, we're gonna go through tough times. Have you ever been through a tough time? We've all been through a tough time, right? So stop thinking that faith just produces flowery beds of ease, you know? It doesn't. But I'll tell you what, it is how we pass the test. It's how we please God. And faith will work in any circumstance. Look at 2 Corinthians 4:13. That if you shall confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, excuse me, that's Romans 10:9. Can you bring up 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 13? Praise the Lord, it's coming through the pipe. There it is. Nope. Oh, did I say 4? 13, please. Can we bring up verse 13? There it is. We having the what? Same spirit of faith. Do you got a spirit of faith on you here today? Yes. It says, according as it is written, I believed, therefore have I spoken. We also believe and therefore speak. Jesus said it this way, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth will speak. So the spirit of faith is believing in our heart, speaking in our mouth. Actually, we know this, that anything that we're speaking is really ultimately, you know, a reflection of what we believe. Folks, you know, the past couple Wednesdays ago, we went over there to Proverbs 18:21. And it says, death and life is in the power of the tongue. Those that love it will eat the fruit thereof. Your tongue has the power to create life, or it also has the power to create death or destruction. So many times we think the destruction only came from the devil. Oh no, unfortunately, sometimes we give him a big help by speaking words of destruction, you know, speaking words of worry, speaking, you know, fear, and saying things like, oh, I don't know how we're gonna make it. We don't have enough money. We're never gonna get to the other side of this. I'm the first one that always gets sick. I can't believe so-and-so did that. I can't believe what they're doing. Can you believe what they said? Can you believe what they did? All that stuff just produces destruction in your life. You know, people that sit around feeling worried about the economy, worried about the war in Israel. Here's what you need to know about the war in Israel. Israel win. They win. The Bible has already written that they cannot be defeated. They cannot be removed. Israel will not be going anywhere. Praise the Lord. Of course, we can be praying for that and so on. But you don't have to be worried about it. Amen. So we have the spirit of faith. As it is written, I believed, therefore I speak. Folks, let me ask you this question. What are you speaking over your children on a daily basis? What are you speaking over your home on a daily basis? What are you speaking over your business? What are you speaking over your body? What are you speaking over these things in your life? What are you speaking about the peace and the joy in your mind? You know, what scriptures do you have to build into your heart so you make sure that you're saying these things? Because we're supposed to live on this every single day. Go back to Romans chapter 10. We're not done over there. Well, glory to God. Go back over to Romans chapter 10. Go to verse 8 again. Look at this. What does the word say? The word is nigh to you. You've got God's promises every day of your life. Amen. You've got God's word. If you're spending any time in it, you've got it in your heart. And you can speak that out of your mouth. Amen. It says, even in your mouth and in your heart, that is the word of faith which we preach. Notice that phrase, word of faith. Now, sometimes when people, they hear that phrase, they think that it's a church movement. They think that it's the word of faith movement that started in the 70s, 80s, 90s, and is actually still going today. Listen, thank God for the word of faith movement. Thank God that the emphasis on the spoken word of faith. Yes, there's people out there that take it out of bounds. Yes, there's people that have, you know, pulled things, try to pull the scripture to say things that it doesn't say. Yes, but the vast, 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 vast majority of it is a blessing. Thank God for being taught how to speak the word of faith. That phrase, the word of faith, it literally translates the spoken word of faith. The spoken word of faith. Now, of course, you see that in the scripture. It's in your heart and in your mouth. It's the spoken word of faith. But notice the last three words of verse 8. Paul says, which we preach. Paul's saying, of course, the author is the Holy Spirit, but through Paul the Apostle, he says, we preach this doctrine. We preach this principle to the spoken word of faith is what God has given to humanity to live on every single day. Amen. The just shall live by faith. God has given you this simple process to live. So many times we want God to, you know, perform a miracle. We want God to move into our lives, but here's our part. God moves in on the railroad tracks of faith. And if you are going to get God moving in your life, you're going to have to get your words moving. Amen. Praise the Lord. The Bible says over there in Proverbs 13:2, a man shall eat good by the words of his mouth or his lips. Verse 3 says, he that guards his mouth guards his life. Proverbs 13:3. The Bible says over there in Proverbs 15:4, the tongue with its healing power is a tree of life. Your words have healing power. Do you know that's what the Bible says? Wow, praise God. If you've got a heart and you've got a mouth, your answer is one moment away for you to start speaking and getting that spiritual principle working on your behalf. Praise the Lord. This is what God's given all of humanity to live on. Glory to God. Now, let's start filling in the rest of it. Go to Galatians chapter 3. Go to Galatians chapter 3. Well, there's just some people, they sit in a message like this and they say, oh, I know that already. I've been taught this. I've heard this before. Or the devil moves in and knocks on their brain and says, oh, that's that name it and claim it stuff. Well, I tell you what, people abuse name it and claim it. Listen, they try to turn their Chevy into a Lamborghini. Listen, if you're turning Chevys into Lamborghinis, please let me know. If you're dialing up Lamborghinis out of your Chevy with your words, please dial me one up while you're at it. Yes, there's stuff. There's ridiculous stuff on Christian TV that like, oh, my faith is all this stuff and turn your small house into a multi-million dollar mansion with the words of faith. Folks, that's ridiculous. You know better than that. You know we don't teach that around here. You know that. Praise the Lord. But I tell you what, if there's a promise of God in the word, you can name the promise. You can claim the promise. It does belong to you. Don't get sidetracked just because a few people took something out of bounds. There's a Bible side to the word of faith. The very phrase is used in the Bible. Thank God. It's the word of faith that God gave every human being, no matter where they are, no matter when they lived, it'll work for them. Go to Galatians chapter 3 in verse 7. All right, now let's start talking about faith here more specifically. And we're gonna start laying the foundation of things that is gonna empower your faith. Folks, it is time. We gotta take the limits off. This world needs to see people living by faith. You know why I say the spirit of faith fixes everything. I'm just going to end the suspense right now. You know why the spirit of faith fixes everything? Because it'll change you before it'll change the circumstances. Because when you're in the spirit of faith, when you get over into faith, you're not going to be complaining as much anymore. When you're in the spirit of faith, you're not going to be grumpy as much anymore. You're not going to be bitter at what's going on in the world. When you're in the spirit of faith, you forgive people more easily. When you're in the spirit of faith, you're not fault-finding with everybody. When you're in the spirit of faith, you are simply looking at God. It is just him and you, and it is him who you see. And when you see how big God is, everything you're facing on this earth looks so much smaller. Folks, all faith ultimately is the belief that God is greater. God is greater. Stop looking at what you don't have. Stop looking at the lack or the darkness in this world. Start looking at the Lord. We've got to go back again and just get alone, us and God. See him. Stop looking at all what everybody's doing and everybody's complaining about. Stop looking at all the wars and all the problems in the economy. Start looking at the greatness of God and believing that he's going to show up on your behalf. The Bible says in 2 Chronicles 16:9 that the eyes of the Lord range to and fro throughout the whole earth, searching for those whose hearts, he's searching to show himself strong on behalf whose hearts are perfect towards him. God's looking throughout all the earth for someone who's using their faith. Folks, have you ever heard of a guy named Abraham? How many of you know God liked him? God really liked him. God still likes him. God, that's why Abraham is the founder of the nation of Israel. God made a promise to Abraham. That's why Israel is still here. This is why Israel will always exist. No matter all the nations that have tried to pile up on Israel, no matter all the threats of Russia, no matter all the threats of, you know, these past nations. Remember what was it, 1967? When all the Middle Eastern nations rose up and tried to remove Israel out of the land. Egypt and Syria, Jordan, all those ones all came against Israel. And everyone was like, oh no, Israel's going to get pounded. There's no way Israel can win this war. They said there's no way Israel's going to win. But if Israel did win, it might take 6 years. Or at very least, it would take 6 months. But when Israel stood up to those nations in the Middle East, it took how long? 6 days. The strongest nations in the Middle East all got together to eradicate Israel. Israel won in 6 days. That would be like a middle school football team walking into Buffalo Bills Stadium, not just beating them, but beating them 50-0, which actually might happen these days. You know I can't mention the Bills without giving them a kick. Say, well, he hates the Buffalo Bills. No, unfortunately, I like the Buffalo Bills, and that's my problem. All right. I just wish I didn't. Lord, take it from me. Praise the Lord. But it would be like a middle school football team going into an NFL stadium, not just beating an NFL team, but beating them 50-0. That's what happened back there in the 60s. Israel won big. Why? Because God loves Abraham. God loves Abraham. Boy, it sure would be nice to be Abraham. Boy, it sure would be nice to be him. Boy, if we could just have what Abraham has. If God would just do for us what he did for Abraham, man. Ooh, see, some of you are getting excited because you know what I'm talking about here. Look at verse 7. Know you therefore that they which are of faith, everyone say faith.
Faith.
Those that are constantly putting God's word in their heart, speaking out of their mouth, they are the same as the children of Abraham. Those that live by faith, just like Abraham did. Abraham's called the father of faith. All right? Bring this up in the Amplified version. Watch this. It words it in a way that makes it easy for us to understand. Can you bring this up in the Amplified? No one understands that it is really the people who live by faith who are the true sons of Abraham. Wow, now that makes it a little bit more specific now, doesn't it? You know, we want to be joined to Abraham. We want to be joined to what God does and did for Abraham. Well, guess what? We're going to have to do what Abraham did. Remember Jesus said that to the Pharisees and to the Jews? He said, if you were the sons of Abraham, you would do the works of Abraham. You're gonna have to live like Abraham lived. It is really the people who live by faith who are the true sons of Abraham. So now this process becomes very important to us. If I'm gonna be really God's son, if you're gonna be God's son or God's daughter, we're gonna have to now take it very seriously, this process of putting the word in our heart by hearing and hearing the word of God and speaking faith, bypassing the carnal mind. Get the words of worry and doubt and fret and fear. Get those words out. Bypass your brain. Go past the bitterness. Go past the criticisms. Go past the jealousy. And start speaking God's word out of your spirit. And the Bible says you're going to be the true sons of Abraham. And it's not a family church idea. This is for every born-again believer on this earth, no matter what church they go to. Amen. Look at this, verse 8. The scripture foreseeing that God would justify the heathen. Boy, the heathen. We don't need to ask if there's any heathens here today. See, the word heathen, you know, we think of it means like some evil person. The word heathen here just means somebody who was not born into the Jewish covenant. It just means an outsider. So let's not put our own twist on it. The scripture foreseeing that God would justify, another word for it is the Gentiles. God would justify people like you and I through faith. Because what? We believed in our heart. We spoke with our mouth that Jesus is Lord. God justified us. All right? Seeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, God preached before the gospel to Abraham saying, in you, Abraham, because of your example, and now through history, he says this, all nations shall be what?
Blessed.
All nations, we're gonna have an opportunity to walk under the blessing of Abraham. All right? Now look at verse 9. Now it brings it right into our lives. So then, you and I, which are of faith, are what? What are we? Oh my goodness. You sounded very excited about that. Let's say this again. So then they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. Wow. So now we know that if we are of faith, we are blessed with faithful Abraham. Are you blessed here today? Oh, but Pastor, you don't get it. I'm down to my last nickel. Guess what? You're still blessed. Oh, but you don't get it. This circumstance, this thing happened. It's so terrible. And that. Guess what? You're blessed. The circumstances don't take away the blessing. The lack of money doesn't take away the blessing. When are we going to start believing we're blessed? Go down to verse 13. Go down to verse 13. I was going to read all the way through, but for the sake of time, go down to verse 13. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written in God's word, cursed is everyone that hangs on a tree, or a reference to the cross. You could say it this way, cursed was everyone that hung on the cross, referring to Christ. See, when we think about why Jesus came to this earth, so often, you know, we hear people say, oh, Jesus came to this earth. He died on that cross. He was nailed to that cross so I could go to heaven. Folks, that's true. And that's not a wrong thing to say. But I'm telling you, that's incomplete. That isn't a Bible, a full understanding of what Christ did for you. Yes, we get to go to heaven. And it sure does beat the alternative. We get to go to heaven. Heaven is going to be glorious. If you've got loved ones there, do not feel sorry for them. Do not. It is glorious. It's wonderful. And so often we start talking about, yeah, the golden streets are there and our mansions are there. I'll tell you what's there. Jesus is there. That's why I'm looking forward to being there after a nice long life on this earth, right? But we understand Jesus is the center of going to heaven. But Jesus did not go to that cross just to take you to heaven. Jesus was nailed to that cross because that was what was necessary for him to bear the curse that was on you and I. The curse was upon and still is upon every human being that doesn't know Jesus as their Lord and Savior. But see, when you got saved, you got redeemed from the curse. Jesus went to that cross and became a curse. He was cursed. He literally, so that curse would be lifted off from you and placed on him. Now, that doesn't mean he just took the curse away and just didn't put anything in its place. He took the curse off so he could put something else on you. Look at the semicolon at the end of verse 13. The scripture's not over yet. Verse 14 tells us, why did Jesus get nailed to that cross and become a curse for us? That the what? Blessing of Abraham would come on the Gentiles. Have any born-again Gentiles in the house here today? Yes, that's who we are. That we, the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we would receive the promise of the Spirit through what?
Faith.
Through what?
Faith.
The Spirit of God loves faith. The Spirit of God loves it. This is what drew God to Abraham. He knew that Abraham was going to believe and trust the word of God. God one time told Abraham, he said, Abraham, look up into the stars. He said, see if you can count the stars. And Abraham said, of course, I can't count them all. And the Lord said to Abraham, he said, so shall it be with all of your children, all of your ancestors that are going to come after you. And here, when God said that, Abraham was already an older man. He said, God said, you're going to become a father of a great nation. And Abraham's already old, and he says, I have no son, I have no child. But even though Abraham looked at his natural circumstances, he said, I believe what God said to me. Isn't that awesome? Romans 4 said that Abraham did not even consider his own body dead. Right? God looked at and said to Abraham and said, look up into the stars, see if you can count them, so shall your ancestors be. And Abraham had every natural reason to say, oh, that's not going to happen. Come on. I'm too old. I have no child. All the reasons why. But the Bible says that Abraham believed God. And Abraham said, yep, as you said, Lord, so let it be. And because Abraham believed and spoke that word of faith, he became the father of faith. And now God said, I am going to make a plan to make as many people like Abraham as I can. And so God started with this plan with Abraham all the way up to Jesus Christ so that you and I would receive Jesus by faith. And then we would just keep living by faith every single day. And God would say, look at the children of Abraham. They do what Abraham does. So Jesus Christ came because he wanted to reproduce that faith that Abraham had. And that's why Jesus said, I'm going to take the curse off them. I'm going to put the blessing of Abraham on them so they can live by faith every single day. That the blessing of Abraham. Go down to verse 29 real quick. Galatians 3:29, just to know what you have. Look at this. And if you be Christ's. Anyone belong to Jesus here today? All right, looks like at least 20 of you. Praise the Lord. If you then be Christ, you are what? You are what? Abraham's seed. That means Abraham's children. Meaning you're the ones that bear the resemblance of Abraham. God said, look at that faith of that man. I want to reproduce that. So if I'm going to reproduce it, I got to deliver them from their sin. I got to get them out of the law, and I got to move them into the faith of God. Yes. And if you be Christ, you are Abraham's seed. And what? What else are you? Yes. Heirs of the promise. Amen. You're heirs of the promise. So now, considering all these things that I've just shown you in the Word of God, let's ask ourselves some simple questions, all right? And be careful before you start shouting out some answers, you know. Go ahead, think about it for just a moment. Let me ask you this question. As Christians, how cursed are you? How cursed? How cursed are you? Maybe you're not completely cursed, but are you 20% cursed? Are you 15% cursed? Are you 10%? Are you 5% cursed? Are you 1% cursed? So how cursed are you?
Zero.
Zero. You are none. Jesus redeemed you from all the curse of the law. You are 0% cursed. Even if you go through a financial attack, are you cursed at all?
No.
No, you are still 0% cursed. Now let me ask you this next question. How blessed are you? Are you just 80% blessed? Are you 90% blessed? Are you 99% blessed? How blessed are you? 100%. That means completely blessed. I'm 0% cursed and 100% blessed. No matter what I see, no matter what I experience, no matter what goes on around me, no matter what other people do, no matter what wars are going on in the news, no matter what happens in the economy, you are blessed. Boy, it sure is good to be 0% cursed, 100% blessed. What am I getting at? Because this is the spirit of faith that God wants us to get into. Why am I teaching this? Because we don't realize how the devil subtly tries to move restrictions into our life. All of a sudden, circumstances start to speak to us. Maybe we go through a sickness or an illness. And even though we know that the Bible says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, forget not all of his benefits, who forgives all my sins and heals all my diseases." You know, of course, the world that we live in is fallen. We know that there is a real devil. Jesus said that this world would provide tribulations and trials. And all of a sudden, a sickness knocks on your life. And all of a sudden, that sickness tries to get you to doubt what the Bible says in God's word. And all of a sudden, that circumstance, you know, starts to get you convinced, well, maybe God isn't completely my healer. Maybe there's something he left out. Folks, you are 0% cursed. You are 100% blessed, regardless of what circumstance or what you're facing. If you're down to your last penny, actually, there's a lot of people that have less than a penny. They have mountains of debt. They're not living having one penny. They're living way, you know, under zero, right, with debt. Listen, even if you're way under zero, guess what? You're 100% blessed, 0% cursed. Folks, we have got to start looking at God without restrictions. Go with me to Romans 8. And we're going to get ready to wrap this up right here. Go to Romans 8. Go to Romans 8. The spirit of faith doesn't put restrictions on God. All of a sudden, because bad things happen, because tough times come to God's people start seeing the trials and the troubles that others go through, and all of a sudden they start thinking, well, maybe God doesn't do certain things. Maybe God is restricting their blessing. Maybe God is holding back. Folks, I'm here to tell you, you can't believe that way. You cannot live in these last days and believe that God is holding back. You know, I dare you. Actually, let's go even higher. I double dog dare you. Triple dog dare. Beyond the triple dog dare, it just doesn't make sense anymore, right? But we'll go triple dog dare. Believe God at the highest. There's nothing the Lord won't do for you. There's nothing that God doesn't want to bless in your life. No, he does not want you greedy. No, he doesn't want your heart obsessed with money and possessions. But I'm here to tell you, regardless of what it is, God's got blessing for you and for your family. Hallelujah. Go to Romans 8. Go to verse 28. People, well, God, you know, all of a sudden, there's ministers, there's preachers, there's denominations, there's people all over all of a sudden saying, well, God just doesn't do this anymore. God isn't in the healing business anymore. God isn't in this. God didn't provide that. What are the restrictions to the blessing of Abraham? See, we're not quite convinced. What restrictions are there? What did God withhold from Abraham? Nothing. nothing. Why do you think that even though Israel isn't even serving God, for the most part, do you understand that? Israel is very, very much in a backslidden state right now. Boy, that's going to get me in trouble with somebody. I'm not trying to criticize them, but the nation of Israel as a whole has rejected Jesus Christ. But because of God's faithfulness, because he promised way back there to Abraham, even in Israel's sunken state, they are still undefeatable. They are still undefeatable. The United States could decide tomorrow that we're going to wipe Israel off the map. Guess what? We couldn't. We couldn't. Thank God that our nation is still protecting Israel. You can see there's people in our country that don't want America to protect Israel anymore. More and more people are trying to get the United States to turn on Israel. Unfortunately, one day we will. And those people don't realize one of the only things keeping this nation standing is the very fact that our nation is still defending and protecting Israel. You better be grateful. Yes, of course, there's sad things that happen on both sides of a war. It's awful when any innocent person gets hurt. But just so you know, God is not ever going to abandon Israel. How much more will he never abandon you? If you're faithful, you serve him, how much more will that blessing operate in your life? Glory to God. They that are of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. Here's Romans 8:28. How blessed are you? 100%. What restrictions are there in this covenant of Abraham? None. None. Oh, but I don't know. Well, someone went through this. Stop. See, that's living by sight. We walk by faith, not by sight. Well, this happened, and this person went through this, so therefore God must not. No. Stop walking by sight. God says, keep your eyes in here. Keep your eyes in here. And people are going to accuse me of telling you that all life is just going to feel perfect all the time. No, it won't. Have you learned that it doesn't? Actually, I'm not preaching this to make life feel perfect. I'm preaching it for the opposite. I know life will not be perfect. You're going to be tested every day of your life. And the spirit of faith is how you overcome those tests. It pleases God when you stay in faith when everything in your world seems to be pressing. Everything seems to be crushing you, and yet you still keep confessing your faith. Hallelujah. Romans 8:28. And we know. Everyone say, we know.
We know.
We're supposed to know this. We know that how many things?
All
things. Boy, God has a way of using that word all. Sounds like Acts 10:38, how God anointed Jesus Christ of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all those that were oppressed of the devil. For God was with him, the scripture says. I'm here to tell you, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's a savior now. He's a healer now, just as much as ever before. Actually, we could dare say this, more now than ever before. Do you know why? And I shared this on Wednesday night. The Bible over there at the end of Romans chapter 5 in the beginning of chapter 6, it tells us wherever sin abounds, the grace of God much, much more shall abound. Meaning as the level of sin goes up in a society, God will find those that are faithful and he will add his grace so that we can conquer and get above all that stuff. As we are living in a more dark, evil society, which there has never been more evil in the world than there is right now, that means the good news is that God's grace is available right now more than ever before. This is the time now to be the most faithful to God, to use your faith on a daily basis. We know that all things work together for good to them that love God. To them that are called according to his purpose. It doesn't mean that all things feel good. Even when you're going through a hard time, even when the devil is pressing you, the scripture says what the devil meant for evil, God will turn it for his good. Listen, that thing that you're going through, it's going to turn. It's going to turn. Think about how frustrating that must be for the devil. Think about how frustrating. Everything that he throws at us just becomes our benefit. It's like this. If you invited me to the gym to work out with you, you're gonna have to drag me there. I'm just being honest. I don't get you people that love going to the gym. I just don't get it. I'm waiting like, wait a minute, is this supposed to be fun? You know, why am I lifting these weights? They're so heavy, you know? Why? I mean, what's the point of all this? You know, anyway, I mean, I know it's good for you, and one of these days I'll get back to it. You know, yeah, praise the Lord. Well, you're gonna have to drag me there. But if you dragged me there and then, you know, got me into a place where I had to use all that effort and all that stuff, it might not feel good. I might really not like it, but guess what? There would be a benefit, wouldn't there? The devil is foolish for testing our faith, because when you keep using your faith, you're just working out. He is so dumb, he drags you and I to the gym, gives us a reason to work out, and then he wants to jump into the ring with us. The devil's a fool. The devil's a fool. Think about the enemy, how he looks at this and says, oh my goodness, the Bible says that all things work together for the good of them that love God. Even when I'm going through the hardest point in my life, I'm here to tell you it's working for my good. Oh yeah. I'll tell you what, the body of Christ has been going through some things over these last few years. If we stay faithful to God, it's working for our good. Yes. To them that are called according to his purpose. I believe that's you and I. It says in verse 29, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son, that Jesus might be or would be the firstborn among many brethren. Do we have many brethren here today? Jesus was the first, we're the rest. Amen. He was the first, we're the rest. Look at verse 30, we should get excited about this. Moreover, whom Jesus did predestinate. That just means Jesus saw ahead of time. Don't let that word predestination trip you up. People think that predestination, that means that God's already selected those that can be saved and those who cannot. That is foolish. That is Calvinistic. It is wrong. It is not scriptural. Anyway, let's just hammer that out. It's not talking about God saying, well, you could be saved and you can't. The decision's already made. If that's true, why preach the gospel? Anyway, moreover, the word predestinate means that God saw ahead of time. For whom he did predestinate, them he also called. And whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. Who's he talking about here? Me and you. Glory to God. You are called, justified, and glorified. What does that mean? God has put his glory on you. What does that mean? He put the blessing of Abraham on you. 0% cursed, 100% blessed. So now we get the reason why God says what he says in verse 31. Verse 31, look what it says. What shall we then say to these things? That's a good question. What do you say to the fact that God says, I've called you, justified you, glorified you? What do you say when God says all things work together for your good because you love and serve him? What do you say now that he knew ahead of time and called you, justified, glorified you? Everything's working to your good. What do you say to that? See, you see how God's always trying to get us back to what our words are saying? What do you say to that truth? What do you say? Here's what he says. If God be for us, who can be against us? How much is God for you? 100%. How much is God against you? 0%. But why do so many Christians believe that in certain things, for certain reasons, God might be against you? My goodness, you get on Christian radio, they sing songs about God coming against you. God authored the trial. God is knocking you down so he can pick you up. God is not knocking you down. He put the blessing on you. He already took the curse. Amen. What do we say? Because we're called, justified, and glorified. All things work together for our good. God is 100% for me. He's 0% against me. What does this matter? Because when you go to God, talk this way. Go to God, talk this way. Father, I'm 0% cursed. I'm 100% blessed. You are 0% against me. You're 100% for me. Therefore, Father, when I ask you for X, Y, and Z, I believe. It's easy to believe God when you know how blessed you are. It's easy to know that God's going to operate in your life when you go to him knowing you're blessed. But if you sit around wondering, well, God's got me, you know, a little bit cursed. God puts the trial on my life. God made me sick. No, God can't. God's not making you sick. Stop. Yes, if we go through a trial like that, God can teach us lessons. Yes, you know, there's things that can be added to our understanding because we go through hardships. Folks, how many of you have ever learned a lot about God when you go through a hard time? Yeah, but that doesn't mean God is producing that hard time. You need to know the difference. Yes, we go to him, we learn things as we go through trials. But people have this idea that God is coming a little bit against you. So, you know what I mean? He's not. He's 100% for you, 0% against you. You are 0% cursed, 100% blessed. Now, let's ask ourselves, what's restricted in this blessing of Abraham? What's restricted? What does it include and what doesn't it include? Verse 32. He that spared not his own son, God didn't spare Jesus for you. Think about how, man, it's not even Father's Day and I'm about ready to start crying. Think about that. He could have spared his son, but didn't, because he did that for me and you. Oh my goodness. I wouldn't let an evil person cut one hair off my son's head. You know what I mean? God watched all that and could have done something, but he knew that if he spared Jesus from the cross, all of us were doomed. That's God's love. That's what grace is. Grace is not God turning his back on sin. Grace is when you've turned your face to God and when you've realized what he did for you was so great, it wins your heart. I don't have to follow God's rules. I want to obey him because of what he did for me. See, when you get that revelation, grace increases in your life. God that spared not his own son, he watched Jesus. He watched Jesus being punished. And I'm going to tell you the truth. Don't let anybody tell you differently. The Bible says that Jesus then descended into hell and suffered for you there. And people say, well, you know, I don't believe that. I don't have that. I'm telling you, the Bible says it explicitly. If Jesus, he had to take all of your sins in his body, he had to face a physical death. He also had to face spiritual death. Because there's more than just one death, folks. The Bible says that there's two deaths. Jesus went to both for you. And then he rose again. God spared him for none of that, but delivered him up for us all. How shall he not with Christ, with him, say the next word with me, also freely give us how many things? All things. There is nothing restricted. There's nothing held back. 0% cursed, 100% blessed. There's nothing that God won't do for you. Could you imagine if somebody came into your life and said, hey, I love you. I came into some money, and I'm going to give you $1 million. You'd say, oh, praise the Lord. Here's a check for $1 million. Oh, my goodness. You would obviously probably be excited about that. But you're sitting there talking to them, and they say, oh, here's $1 million. Oh, my goodness, thank you so much. And, oh, all the things, this is going to change my life, and I'm going to be a giver. I'm going to be out of debt. I'm going to, all this stuff I'm going to do. And then as you're sitting there talking to the person who just gave you $1 million, all of a sudden you get thirsty from all the gratitude that you're sharing, all the talking that you're doing. And you notice this person who just gave you $1 million has a couple bottles of water sitting there, and you say, hey, would it be all right if I got a bottle of water? What if that person all of a sudden said, no, you can't have any water? Would that shock you just a little bit? If they handed you $1 million and then 10 minutes later they wouldn't give you a bottle of water, wouldn't that be weird? That's what Christians think God is doing. He gave me Christ but won't provide for me? Gave me Christ, but healing's not for today. Gave me Christ, but won't provide all the rest. I mean, let's say, you know, you inherited that money from, you know, a great Uncle George or whatever, and Uncle George left you $1 million. And then you went over to George's house, and you said, man, you thought to yourself, man, I'm really thirsty, but, oh, I don't want to ask Uncle George for something else. He won't give me a bottle of water. He won't do that. And then Uncle George finds out later that you were there, you got thirsty, but you didn't ask him because you didn't think enough about him that he would give you a bottle of water when he's already provided you a whole new life. Uncle George would feel like his character was slighted, wouldn't he? We do that to God all the time. He gave us the ultimate gift, but we are so concerned, like we're not quite sure if he'll do the rest. Folks, I'm here to tell you, God wants to do the rest. Folks, the spirit of faith, it fixes everything. Because it first changes you before the circumstances change. Faith does not change every circumstance overnight. It doesn't. Obviously, we keep using our faith. The Bible says through faith and patience we inherit the promises, right? What is that over there? Hebrews 6, 10 through 12? Through faith and patience we inherit the promise. See, we love the faith part, but we don't like the patience part. All right? But faith, the spirit of faith will change you before it will change the circumstances. Because when you're looking at God and with your faith, you're seeing, you know, you're seeing him as 100% for you, 0% against you. What does God look like now when you see him? When you think that he's 100% for you, 0% against you, close your eyes, go in before God. He looks different now. Now he's all for you. He's not mad at you. He's not looking to pound you over the head. The Bible says in James chapter 1 and verse 5, I love the Amplified, it says, the giving God. The giving God who gives to all men liberally. And it says, in the King James, it says, and God upbraideth not. See, none of us really knew what that meant. The word upbraids means that God does not mock you for asking him. He doesn't chastise you because you came to him. God loves to give to you. Jesus said, if you being evil know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give to those that ask him? God loves to give to you. How's it gonna show up? I don't know, but I'm not gonna put a limit on it. It's gonna show up in your marriage. It's gonna show up for your kids. It's gonna show up in your business. It's gonna show up in your job. It's gonna show up in your health. It's gonna show up in your peace. When God blesses you, it's across the board. Amen. 0% against you, 100% for you. That is at the heart of the spirit of faith. I can go ask God for anything good. Now remember, we don't go ask God for something selfish. We have to, the Bible says in 1 John 5:14, we ask according to his will. Find out what his promises are and say, Father, I know it's your will. Therefore, by faith, I receive. It is that simple. Folks, get your faith working for you. It pleases God. God's got more for you and I than we could possibly imagine. Yeah, in this life and that which is to come. Isn't it over there in Ephesians 3:20? It says that God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. According to what? The power that works in us. Can you bring that verse up? Ephesians 3:20. We'll end right here. Folks, there's power in you. There's power in you. Amen. It's in your heart, in your mouth, the word of faith, if you'll speak it. Now unto God that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. Wow. According to the power that is working in you. Notice God does not ever just give his side without giving our side. We've got to work, we've got to release that faith. We've got to bring that faith to the surface. We got to speak it out. Amen. Folks, before we close, I'm going to give you a homework assignment. And I'm telling you, I'm going to refer to this again next week. Folks, I want you to simply think about all the different aspects of your life. Home, marriage, kids. Your job, your business, your income, you know, that would all be in one category. Your health, your peace, and your joy. I mean, just simple. I mean, 5 to 7 aspects of your life. With each one, go find one verse that's a promise of God to you for that aspect. Take that time. How long would that take you? 15, 20 minutes? I mean, my goodness, it's not even as long as some of these TV shows. You know, people think nothing of sitting down and watching a movie for a couple of hours. Not saying that that's wrong, but I'm saying we'll spend all this time. I mean, we'll watch a football game, and there's nothing wrong with watching a football game. But all of a sudden, that's 3 hours of our life that's gone. Did we take the 20 minutes to compile the promises of God and get that confession moving out of our mouth? Amen? Listen, nothing wrong with being a football fan. Nothing wrong with enjoying the Bills tanking this year. You know, nothing wrong with them, you know, not making the playoffs. Now, you know, I know some of you are genuinely getting mad. Folks, I want them to win. Yeah, we're leaving the church now. We're out of here. This guy's a religious zealot. We're gone. Folks, nothing wrong with watching a football game, enjoying natural life, all right? But folks, nothing's gonna bless your life like releasing faith is gonna bless your life. Nothing's gonna help you more than to go to God and simply, Father, you are for me. You are so for me. You are abundantly for me. I'm 0% cursed, 100% blessed. You're 0% against me, 100% for me. Do you notice I keep repeating that? Why? Because faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. Did you get some help here today? Amen. Let's pray. Father God, we love you and praise you. We are the seed of Abraham. We are the ones that are of faith. We are blessed with faithful Abraham. Lord, I don't know. Meaning, Lord, all that you want to do, I can't claim to know everything that you want to do in my life. But I know this, there's no restriction to it. You spared not your own son, but you delivered him up for us all. How will you not also in Christ freely give us all things? Father, you meet every need of my life. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God. Blessed is your name. Blessed is your name. Blessed is your name. Father, we thank you that when we simply release faith in Jesus Christ, it literally, when a sinner confesses Christ as Lord, even that spiritual infant, even that little bit of faith that confesses Jesus as Lord, is enough to overturn that person's destiny. Father, that's why we say the spirit of faith can fix it all. Because faith fixed our greatest need we ever had. There's no greater need in this life than needing Jesus as Lord and Savior. And Father, we all remember that moment when we confessed you as Lord. And at that moment, our address changed from hell to heaven. We went from lost to found. We moved out of death into life. All because we simply used a little faith. Lord, if simple faith can overturn our entire eternal destiny, what else can it do in our life? It'll work. Faith works. Lord, you said that the elders, meaning Abraham and the rest, they received a good report because of their faith. Lord, thank you. We praise you. We love you with all of our heart. Father, we want to be just like Abraham. Lord, we want to be just like you. With all eyes closed, every head bowed, before we dismiss, ask yourself this question in your heart. Have I confessed Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior? Have I personally acted upon that verse that we saw today, Romans 10:9, that if you shall speak with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, if you'll believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. If you're here today and you are uncertain in any way of your salvation, don't leave here till you get certain. You don't have to remember all your past sins. You don't have to, you know, feel a certain way. You don't have to be a certain age or anything. If you'll simply put your faith in Christ, you will be saved. And if that's you here today, I'm not going to make you stand up. I'm not going to bring you down front. I'm not going to walk up to you or anything. Right there in your seat, if you say, "Pastor, that's me," I'm simply going to ask you to lift your hand. And the moment I see you lift up your hand, I'll just have you put it right back down. I won't point you out. I'll have you put it right back down, and then I'll lead the entire congregation in a prayer. Right there in your seat, you can invite Christ into your life. If that's you, could you lift your hand now, please? Is there anybody here within the sound of my voice that you'd say, "Pastor, I'm not sure about my eternal destiny. I'm not sure if my sins are washed and cleansed. I'm not sure." Folks, I'm here to tell you, hell is real, but the good news is heaven is real. God doesn't want you to go to hell. God gave you Jesus so you don't have to, but you got to call upon him. If that's you, could you lift your hand? I just want to make sure I'm not missing anybody. Is there anybody before we pray? Maybe you're here and you are a Christian, but you've walked away from God and you need to rededicate your life. If that's you, I'd love to pray for you as well. Is there anyone here today that say, "Pastor, I need to rededicate my life. I see that hand and that hand and that hand and that hand." You can put them down in that one. You can put them down. God loves you. God loves you. Folks, I'm not saying this to be doomy and gloomy, but we're living in serious times. Live for God. Find out what the Lord has for you to do. Get rid of the stuff in your life that displeases him. Find out in his word what pleases him and do that. Life is so short. It goes by so quickly. And I'll tell you what, this world is not going to get any easier. You need the Lord. Let's all pray this here today. If you lifted your hand, pray these words with us. We're all going to pray this. Let's just dedicate our lives to God. Let's just go into our heart and get serious for the Lord. Let's all pray this together. Say, "Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for Jesus Christ, my Lord and my Savior. Lord, I will live for you. I will obey you. I will please you all the days of my life. Lord, wash me, cleanse me of all unrighteousness all the days of my life. In Jesus' name, amen and amen." Folks, for those of you that lifted your hand, I just encourage you, God loves you. His mercies are new every day. Go ahead, get faithful. Keep yourself in church. Learn what God has for your life. Amen. Let's go ahead. Let's stand to our feet. Let's just go ahead and rejoice and be glad. Hey, a big reminder to our veterans, to those that serve in our community, that we've honored you here today. Remember, if you have your gray welcome card, make sure your name and address is on it. After service dismiss, Reverend Justin is at the back there. He's going to collect those cards, and we're going to get that blessing in the mail to you as soon as we possibly can. Amen? It's just a token of saying we love you. You are appreciated here. Let's go ahead and just give God the glory. Father, we praise you today. We glorify you today. Father, your hand of blessing is upon each one that is here. And Father, we just give you all the praise, all the glory in Jesus' mighty name. And everyone shouted, amen. You are dismissed.